Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Gershon Bertman. Meseches Sukkah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel. Le'iloi Nishmas, Feivel Yosef ben Chaim Leib, and Yehuda Zev ben Feivel Yosef.
Sukkah daf lamed aleph, omud aleph. The Gemara says, Tonu Rabbonon Sukkah gezulo v'hamesakech b'shus ha-rabim, Rabbi Yezer poisel v'chachomi machshiri. A stolen Sukkah, and if a person built the Sukkah on b'shus ha-rabim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, such a sukkah is possible, and according to Chachamim, the sukkah is kosher. The Gemara explains that sukkah gezula is talking about a person that went into his friend's sukkah, and he forced him out of that sukkah, and now he is sitting in a sukkah which does not belong to him. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the pasuk, Chag ha-sukkah is ta'as lecha, teaches us, lecha veloi gezula veloi she'ula. A sukkah which is gazul, which is stolen, or borrowed, it does not belong to the person who is sitting in that sukkah. A person cannot be yotzei the chayva with such a sukkah, and therefore says Rabbi Eliezer, mimo nafshach. If we say that the halacha is that karka eino nigzeles, and karka even after it was stolen, it is still considered under the reshus of the bailim. So this sukkah is a sukkah sheula. It is a borrowed sukkah. Because karka and nigzeles, and one is not yotzei d'chayva with the sukkah she'ula. And if karka nigzeles, and really it is considered that now this karka of the sukkah is in the reshus of the gazlan, still he is not yotzei d'chayva, because the pasuk teaches us that ta'ase lecha veloi sukkah gzula. And that is why Rabbi Eliezer is poisel both a sukkah gzula and also a sukkah b'shus ha-rabim, because also on reshus ha-rabim, a person is stealing the karka of the bnei reshus ha-rabim. On the other hand, Chachamim are of the opinion that karka ain't a nigzeles, and therefore this karka is still in the reshus of the nigzal, and they also hold that sukkah she'ula is kosher on the Yom Tov of Sukkis. They do not darshan the pasuk, chaga sukkah is ta'as lecha lema'et sukkah she'ula, and therefore if a person forces his friend out of the sukkah, it is considered as now that he is now borrowing the sukkah. It is a sukkah she'ula. It is not a sukkah gzula because karka ain't an igzeles. And a sukkah she'ula is kosher on Yom Tov. And so too, when he's building a sukkah on reshus ha-rabim, the sukkah is not considered a sukkah gzula because karka ain't an igzeles. It is a sukkah she'ula. And according to Chachamim, sukkah she'ula is kosher for the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. Now, la halacha, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like Chachamim, that a sukkah gezula and a mesakech b'shus ha-rabim, the sukkah is kosher. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simin Tov Reish Lamed Zayin, Seif Beis, Yoitzin b'sukkah she'ula, v'chen yoitzin b'shel shutfus. And in Seif Gimel he writes, sukkah gezula k'sheiro, keitzad im tokaf al chaveiroi v'hoitzioi misukosoi v'gozlo v'yoshav bo yotzo, She'ein hakarka nigzeles. If one forced his friend out of the sukkah, and now he is sitting in the sukkah that does not belong to him, it is kosher because ein hakarka nigzeles, it is considered like a sukkah she'ula, and therefore he is yoytzi yedei choyvo. The Rama adds over there in Simin Tov Reish Lamed Zayin Seif Gimel, Hago, mihu lechatchilo lo yeshev odom besukas chaveiroi shelo imidaitoi. וכן לא יעשה סוכו לכתחילו בקרקע של חברו שלו מדייטוי, וכן בקרקע שהיא של רבים. The Rama says that even though such a sukkah is kosher, but this is only bedieved if one was already sitting in the sukkah, he was yoytzei d'chayvo, but lechatchila one should not be yoytzei d'chayvo the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah in a sukkah gzula or in a sukkah which was built on reshus ha-rabim. The Rama says that this halacha is based on the Oyer Zeruah. The Oyer Zeruah in Hilchos Sukkah Simen Shin Beis writes that even though our Gemara says that a sukkah is kosher, even a sukkah gzula or a sukkah b'shus ha-rabim is kosher, that is only lebedieved. But lechatchila one should not be mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah with a sukkah gzula and a sukkah which is built on b'shus ha-rabim. The Oyer Zeruah says that he learned this halacha from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Masech HaSukkah in Paragimel writes, Gamliel Zugo Ovad Le Matlo Goy Shuko. Rabbi Gamliel did his sukkah in the marketplace. Ovar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish or Rabbi Shimon ben Levi Omale Man Shorloch. Who allowed you to do such a thing, to build your sukkah in the marketplace? The Or Zoroah learns from this Yerushalmi that even though a sukkah gezula or a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim is kosher, that is only b'dieved. But from the Yerushalmi we could see that lechatchila one should not build a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. The Poskim discuss at length this halacha in the Ramah, that the Ramah holds that a sukkah b'Rishus HaRabim is only kosher b'dieved, but lechatchila one should not build his sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. The Magen Avraham over there in Tafrish Lamed Zayin writes that tzorich iun shenohagu ktsas la'asoy sukkah b'Rishus HaRabim. The minhag is that many people, or ktsas, some of the people, do and build their sukkahs in Rishus HaRabim. And according to this Ramah, lechatchila one should not do so. And says the Magen Avraham, ve'im timtzeloima de kol Yisrael moichalin mikol mokoyim yesh lo akum chelek bohem. Even if you will say that Bnei Yisrael are moichel on their share in Rishus HaRabim because they want that the other people should be yoytzi d'chayva, and therefore it is not considered a sukkah gezula, that does not help because the goyim also have a share in Rishus HaRabim, and a person who is building a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim is stealing this karka from Bnei Rishus HaRabim. And according to the Ramah, which is based on the Or Zoroah, one should not build a sukkah b'Rishus HaRabim lechatchila. The maskana of the Magen Avraham is that if a person built his sukkah on Rishus HaRabim where people which are not Jews live, where there are non-Jewish people living in that city, he should not be sitting in that sukkah and he should not see a bracha leishiv basukkah in such a sukkah because it is a bracha levatolo. On the other hand, the Elio Rabbi writes that this is not considered a bracha levatolo. Since he is yoytze b'dieved, he could also say a bracha. And if he doesn't have any other sukkah, he should sit in that sukkah and be mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. The Mishneh Berurah in Simen Tov Reish Lamed Zayin Tziv Kotin Yud writes in the name of Tshuva Shoyel Umeishiv, Simen Kuf Chof Ches, that it really depends where the person is building that sukkah. If the sukkah is built really mamish in the Rishus HaRabim, in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, that would be a problem. But if a person is building the sukkah in front of his own house, even though really this area in front of his house belongs to Bnei Rishus HaRabim, we could assume that the Bnei Rishus HaRabim are moichel. And says the Shoyel Umeishiv, ubifrat heiche sheyesh lohem dekoment, when they have a document, misar ho'ir sheyesh lohem reshus la'asois eiruvin v'sukois, ein lefak mikvazeh. If there is a special permission from the mayor of the city that they are allowed to build the sukkahs in Rishus HaRabim, that is kosher lechatchila and ein lefak bikbozeh. In the Beir Halacha over there in Simen Tov Reish Lamed Zayin, says that he found that the Bikur Yankiv is meikel even when there is no special permission from the Sar Ha'ir, from the person who is in charge on the city. And the Bikur Yankiv explains that since really all the marketplaces and the streets belong to the Malchus, and Dino de Malchus Adino, therefore, the Malchus has permission and they are allowed to do a mechah. They could actually prevent people from building anything in the marketplace or in the streets. And since they do not do so, this could be considered as if they are granting a permission to build a sukkis, and they don't have to give a special permission. The fact that they are not moiche, and they do not say anything about the people building the sukkahs on Rishus HaRabim, that itself is considered like a permission, and therefore he could build a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim and say a bracha on that sukkah. The Beir Halacha says that since he found many poskim who are meikel on this matter, it is not ra'ui to be moiche on people who are meikel. And he says that if we will be machmir in this case, and we will prevent people from building sukkis in Rishus HaRabim, that will bring about a big kilkul. And he says that he saw himself in his own eyes that people build the sukkah behind their homes in order not to build a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. And the place where they build the sukkah is not ra'ui for sukkah, because they used to build the sukkah next to the Beis HaKiseh. And those places have bad smells to them, and a person is not yoytzei d'chayva when he's sitting in a sukkah which is next to the Beis HaKiseh. Therefore, says the Beir Halacha, it is better to do the sukkah in Rishus HaRabim mamish than doing the sukkah in such places where a person is not yoytzei d'chayva even b'di'evid. And Chidushi Chasam Sefer brings an interesting kasha from the Sefer Eitz Chaim. This is a sefer which was written by Reb Chaim Alefandri on Parshas Emor. And he asks, how could Rabbi Eliezer say that Amisakech Birshus Arabim Sukoso Ipsulo, the Pasuk in Nehemiah, Perek Ches, Pasuk design clearly says that the people built Sukkis in Birshus Arabim. The Pasuk says that after they came back from the Golus, Vayetzu Ha'om Vayoviu Vayasu Lohem Sukkos, Ish Al Gagoy Uvechatzroiseim Uvechatzrois Beis Ho'Elohim. And the pasuk ends off, Uvirchoiv Shar Amayim, Uvirchoiv Shar Ephraim. It is clear in the pasuk that the people built sukkahs even in Rishus Arabim. So how could Rabbi Eliezer and our Gemara say that a sukkah in Rishus Arabim is posel? The Chazam Sofer answers based on the Magen Avraham that we have mentioned. The Magen Avraham writes that a sukkah in Rishus Arabim is posel, even according to Chachamim, it is posel lechatchila, even if the Yisrael are moichel, and they allow other people to build sukkahs because the goyim are not moichel, and therefore when a person is building a sukkah in Rishus Arabim, he is goyzel the karka from the goyim. Says the Chasam Sofer, that is only in Chutz Laaretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, ein la nochrim koyach lehafkienu mimitzvoseinu. In Eretz Yisrael, the goyim do not have power to be mafkia us from being mekayim the mitzvah, and since the Bnei Yisrael are moichel, it is considered that this sukkah is not a sukkah gezula, even though it is built in Rishus Arabim. And that is why in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were able to build sukkahs in Rishus Arabim. The Malbim over there in Nehemiah in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yitzayin, says that we could have a different shot how come people were building sukkahs in Yerushalayim in Rishus Arabim. And the Malbim says that really there's a big kash on the Pasuk over there. The next Pasuk in Nehemiah says, Vayasu kol hakohol hashovi min hashvi sukois, vayeshvu basukois kiloy osu mimei Yeshua binun kein bnei Yisrael ad hayim ahu. It is mashma from the pasuk that people didn't build sukkis from the times of Yeshua binun until that day that bnei Yisrael came back from Golus Bavel. And says the Malbim, this is impossible. It cannot be so that people did not do the mitzvah of sukkis. How could that be? Therefore, the Malbim explains that the pasuk means to tell us that people did not build sukkahs in Rishus Arabim from the times of Yeshua bin Nun, and explains the Malbim that since the city of Yerushalayim was never divided between the Shvatim, Yerushalayim lo nischalko lishvatim, therefore there was no real Rishus Hayochid in Yerushalayim. The whole of Yerushalayim was considered Rishus Arabim, and therefore from the times of Yehoshua bin Nun, people did not build sukkahs in Yerushalayim because the whole of Yerushalayim is considered Rishus Arabim, and a sukkah Rishus Arabim is possible at least lechatchila. Only in the times of Ezra, when the Bnei Yisrael came back from Bavel and they did another kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, they did another kinyan chazaka in Yerushalayim, and they added a special kedusha shnia to Yerushalayim, then they instituted a special Tnai Beis Din that people will be allowed to build sukkahs in Yerushalayim and in any other Rishus Arabim. And says the Malbim, from then on, people were allowed to build sukkahs in Yerushalayim. And when the Pasuk tells us that since the times of Yehoshua bin Nun, people did not build sukkahs, that means that they did not do sukkahs in Rishus Arabim. The first time that they were building sukkahs in Rishus Arabim was in the times of Ezra, because then they had a special Tnai Beis Din that Ezra instituted that people are allowed to build sukkahs in Rishus Arabim in Yerushalayim. The Chasam Sofer has a different pshat in that pasuk. The pasuk seems to be saying that the Bnei Yisrael were never mekayim the mitzvah of sukkahs in Yerushalayim from the times of Yehoshua bin Nun, and as we asked, how could that be? People did not do the mitzvah of sukkahs all the times of the Beis HaMikdosh or Rishoin. The Chasam Sofer explains that that is not the pshat. And he says what the Pasuk is telling us is that until the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, the people who were oile regel, not all the people had room in the sukkahs. We could imagine that how thousands and tens of thousands of people were oile regel, and it is true that there was a special nest, which is mentioned in the Mishnah in Avos, that le'olam le'omar adam tzali hamokoim she'olim b'Yerushalayim, all the people who came to the Beis HaMikdosh and they did the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel had a place to sleep in Yerushalayim, but says the Chasam Sofer, they only had a place to sleep, but it does not mean that they had a place in a sukkah. Therefore, from the times of Yehoshua bin Nun, it was never that all the people that came to Yerushalayim had a room for themselves and were mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkos in Yerushalayim. Only in the times of Ezra, when the people who came back from the Golos were only 40,000 people, then this was the first time that all of those people had enough room in Yerushalayim in order to sleep in the Sukkah, because that is not so many people. We're only talking about 40,000 people, and those people did have room for themselves in the Sukkos, in the streets of Yerushalayim, and that is what the Pasuk is teaching us. Vayasu kol hakol ashavi min hashvi Sukkos, vayeshvu basukkos. All the people that came back from the Golus built Sukkos in Yerushalayim, and they all fit in those Sukkos. This was the first time that all the people who were in Yerushalayim in the Yom Tov of Sukkos had enough room for themselves in a sukkah, because up until then there was never enough space in the Sukkos in Yerushalayim to fit all the people who came for Aliyah LeRegel in the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Our Gemara describes the story of Hahi Savto. The Gemara says, Hahi Savto de Asoy Lekamed Rav Nachman. This old woman came in front of Rav Nachman and she told him that really, Reish Galusa and all the other Chachamim that were there are sitting in a stolen sukkah. And this is because the servants of the Reish Galusa stole wood, pieces of wood from this woman, and they built the sukkah of the Reish Galusa with the stolen wood. The Gemara says, Havi tzavcho veloy ashkech bo Rav Nachman. She was screaming, and Rav Nachman ignored her. A woman that her father has 318 servants is screaming in front of you, and you are ignoring her. Omar lehu Rav Nachman pe'isa hido ve'ein lo elo dmei etzim bilvad. Rav Nachman responded that this woman is a pe'isa. Rashi says koilonis. She's a loud woman, and she does not deserve to get back those pieces of wood which were stolen from her, because the halacha is that ein lo elo domim bilvad, and this is the halacha of takonas morish, and the din is that even though these pieces of wood were stolen for the woman, since they were already built into the sukkah, she does not deserve to get those pieces themselves, and she could only get back the price of those pieces of wood, ein lo elo domim. The Aruch Haner asks a few questions on this story. The first question is, why did Rav Nachman ignore that woman? She had a valid taina. The servants of the Reish Galusa stole the pieces of wood from her, and she wants them back. And even if she didn't know the halacha, and she thought that she deserves the pieces of wood, and really she only deserves the domim, this is not enough of a reason to ignore that woman. And secondly, when Rav Nachman did say the halacha, and he said that she doesn't have a tain and she only deserves the damim, Rav Nachman is not speaking to her directly. He's saying, pe'isa hido, she's a koilani, she's a loud woman, and she does not deserve the etzim, she only deserves the dmei etzim. Why didn't Rav Nachman tell her this halacha directly? Why did he have to ignore her? And even later on, when he says the halacha, he is not speaking to her directly. Says the Aruch Haner that Rav Nachman didn't want to discuss this halacha at all, because this story happened in the first day of Yom Tov. And on the first day of Yom Tov, the halacha is that you're not supposed to do Dinei Mamonis on Yom Tov. The Gemara in Beit Adaf Lamed Vav Amud Beis says that Ein Donim B'Yom Tov. Therefore, Rav Nachman tried to ignore her in order not to be done on Yom Tov. But this woman, she thought that the reason why Rav Nachman is ignoring her is because these pieces of wood were stolen by the servants of Reish Galusa, and Rav Nachman does not want to embarrass the Reish Galusa, therefore she started screaming, and she said that she herself comes from a Yichus of Avraham Avinu. And when Rav Nachman realized that through her screaming there's a bizoyin to the Reish Galusa, and there's also a bizoy of Talmidei Chachamim, all the other Talmidei Chachamim that were sitting in that sukkah, Rav Nachman had no choice, and he had to make sure that she understands that her case is a lost case, because she does not deserve the etim, only the damim. And in order that it shouldn't be considered as a real din, or real din in mamoynes, because one is not allowed to be done din in mamoynes on Yom Tov, therefore Rav Nachman did not respond directly to her. He told all the other tanoim and all the other talmidim that were sitting in the sukkah that really that woman does not deserve the Eitzim, she only deserves the Dmei Eitzim. And by that she understood that Rav Nachman did understand her claim, and the reason why he is not responding to her is because Ein Donim Dinei Mamanes B'Yomtiv. In Sefer Pnine Rabbeinu Yechezkel, which is a collection of Divrei Torah from Rabbi Chatzkel Avramsky Zatzal, which was written by Rabbi Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger Zatzal, he brings a beautiful pshat in this story of Hahi Savto. And his pshat is based on the words of the Ritva later on in the Gemara. The Gemara later on says that this halacha of Takonas Morish that teaches us that if a person stole a piece of wood and he built it into his sukkah, he does not have to return the wood itself. He could return the domim, the price of that wood, is only in the middle of sukkis. The Gemara says, Hani mili begoy shiv'o, ava lebosar shiv'o, hodar be'enei. This is only when in the middle of sukkis, we do not demand that the person dismantle his sukkah. He should tear apart the sukkah in order to return this piece of wood that he stole. This is a special takana that he could pay the value of that piece of wood, and he does not have to return the piece of wood itself. But after sukkis, hodar be'enei, then he has to return the piece of wood itself, and he cannot return the domim, because now he does not need this piece of wood anymore, because sukkis is over, and therefore he has to return that piece of wood which he stole. Now the Ritva has a big chiddush in that Gemara, and the Ritva says that when the Gemara said that betoich shiva, in the middle of sukkis, a person does not have to return the koiro itself, the wood itself, he could return the domim, that is not only if he already paid the nigzal the domim. Even if he did not pay the nigzal, the money, until after sukkis, since that nigzal, the person that the piece of wood was stolen from, demanded his stolen wood on sukkis, he already cannot receive the eitzim itself, and he only deserves the domim. And this is what the Ritva says: Piru sheloi koval olav hanigzal bebeizdin ad lebosar hachag. The only time when the person is entitled to get back his piece of wood is in a case where he did not do the tviya of this piece of eitzim on Yom Tov itself. Holav hochi, afal pi shaloi proi ad achag, kvar knooi vedomim bilvad hu chayev loi. But if already the person, the nigzal, was tviya his eitzim on Yom Tov, even if the gazlan did not pay him back until after Yom Tov, he already lost his chance and he lost his chus to be toivea the eitzim itself, and now he only deserves to get domim and nothing else, even though the gazlin did not pay back the domim until after Yom Tov, because right at the time when the nigzal was toivea the eitzim on Yom Tov, the halacha is that he deserves only the domim and he cannot have a tviya on the eitzim themselves. Based on this Ritva, says Reb Chatzkel Avramsky, we could understand the story of Hahu Sa'ahi Savto. This old woman came to demand her Eitzim on Sukkis itself. Now Rav Nachman realized what is going to happen. The halacha is that if she's demanding the Eitzim on Yom Tov itself, she will never get back the Eitzim, because the halacha is that on Yom Tov itself, she only deserves the domim of the Eitzim. And he realized that she prefers to get the Eitzim. She does not want the money or the domim. She wants the Eitzim themselves. Therefore, Rav Nachman tried to ignore her in order that it shouldn't be considered that she already had her tviya, had her complaint. And that is why Rav Nachman loy ashkach bo, in order to protect her. And he thought that she will realize that there's a reason why Rav Nachman is not listening to her, and she will leave the case until after Yom Tov. And when she will come again after Yom Tov and she will demand her Eitzim, she will get back her Eitzim and not the Domim. But that poor woman did not have enough of Amunas Chachamim, says Reb Chatzkel. And she thought that the reason why Rav Nachman is ignoring her is because he does not want to give her back her Eitzim. And therefore, she started screaming, Tzovcha, and therefore it is already considered that she had her tviya, she had her demand, and that is why Rav Nachman says, if that is the case, that she had already the tviya, pe'isa ido, I cannot ignore anymore her screaming, it is considered that she had already the tviya, she was demanding the Eitzim on Yom Tov, And the halacha is that since she's demanding the etim on Yom Tiv, ein lo, ein lo, elo, dmei etim milvad, she's not entitled to get the etim itself. She's now only getting the domi milvad. I try to protect this woman. She could have understood from the fact that I'm not answering her that it is for her own benefit, but she did not do so. And she harmed herself, and now there's nothing to do anymore, and she will only get the Dmei Eitzim Milvad and not the Eitzim themselves. There's another interesting He'orah B'derech Drush. That woman, when she was screaming against Rav Nachman in the Reish Galusa, she mentioned that her father has 318 servants. Rashi explains that she's referring to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, it says in the Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, that when Avraham Avinu was running after the four kings in order to save Lot, Vayorek eschanichov yelidei beisoi, Shmoino asor ushloishmeois, Vayirdoif adon, Avraham Avinu had 318 servants, and this woman was mentioning the fact that she comes from the descendants of Avraham Avinu. She's a Jewish woman, and she comes from Avraham Avinu, and therefore she deserves to get back her etzim. The Achronim discuss what did she mean by mentioning the fact that she is a descendant of Avraham Avinu. What does that have to do with the tviya, with the demand of her etzim? In a sefer Divrei Soifrim from Reb Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, Oystet Zayin explains that she thought that the reason why Rav Nachman and the Reish Galusa are ignoring her is because they are assuming that she was already misya'ish from those etzim. And that is because the Avdei Reish Galusa, the servants of the Reish Galusa, were Anoshim Alimim, are usually violent people. And therefore, they might assume that she is Misyayish, she's giving up her Eitzim, and now there's Yeyush and Chinu Yeshus, and therefore she cannot anymore demand her Eitzim. And that is why she mentioned that she is a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And she mentioned specifically this story of Avraham Avinu taking 318 men in order to fight the four mighty kings in order to save Lot. And what she meant to say is, the same way Avraham Avinu never gave up, and he was able to fight such big kings because he knew that Hashem is with him, so too, I myself, said Hahu Savta, I am a descendant of Avraham Avinu, and I know this klal that ein yeush ba'olam klal, there is no yeush. And even if you think that I was already misyayish because the people who stole my etim were the servants of the Reish Galusa, this is not so. I come from Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu taught me that one should never give up, and therefore there is no yeyush, and that is why I am demanding my etim, because there was no yeyush on those etim.
The Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis shows from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is machshir in Esrig HaYoshan, the Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the requirement of Hadar Bichlal by Esrig. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold in the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis that an Esrig that's Yarek Kekarti, it's green like a leek, is pasul? Isn't that because he holds of the requirement of Hadar? And the Gemara says, no, that's because Deloy Gamar Peiri, because in such a case, if the Esrig is that green, it's a simen that it's not fully developed. And the Chisaron then in the Pasuk of Pri Eitz Hadar is not because of the word Hadar, it's because of the word Pri. It's not because there's a requirement of being Hadar, it's because it's not considered mature enough to be considered Nigmar Peire, it's not the Pri of the Torah, and therefore the Chisaron is by a green Esrig, because it is not Nigmar HaPeiri. Halacha L'maisa, we paskin, the Rishonim paskin like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and the Beis Yosef in Simen Tov Reish Mem Ches explains, because the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, says Reb Meir for Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha for Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, even though Reb Meir is Machshir in Esrig, that's Yarek Kekarti, since Rabbi Yehuda is Poisel, so we hold La Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, that a green Esrig is Pasel. Interestingly, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Siddur Beis Yaakov, brings down the Tikkunei Zohar that says that an esrig that's green, ke'isve hasodeh, like the grass of the field, is mishubachas. That's the best esrig to take. However, the Paiskim already bring down that halacha lemaisa, we paskin like the Torah's Hanigla, like our Gemara, that says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a green esrog is pasul in the Sefer Chaim Ubracha of the Matcha V'Rav in Simin Kuf Yud Beis. It's one of the key svarim on Hilchas Arba Minim. He brings down that Rabbi Yaakov Emden himself was chayzer in his Maruk Tzia, which is on Shulchan Aruch, where he says that you shouldn't be saimich on that Tikune Zayar, and you shouldn't get an esrog that's Yarei Kekarti, because we passing like Rabbi Yehuda that says an esrog that's Yarei Kekarti is pasul. However, based on our Gemara that says Lamaskana that the psul is not because of hadar, not because of the lack of hidr, it's because of the issue of loy nigmar peri, that it's not fully developed. Toisvis at the end of Dibur Hamaschil Hayoroik and the Rosh and Simon Chaf Aleph and his son the Tur, they all paskin that if the esrig is such that even though now it's green, but if you would wait after it's plucked, it would eventually turn yellow. That's a simon that it is sufficiently mature, and that esrog would be kosher even ba'oida yaroik, even when it's green. And the Shulchan Aruch himself paskins like this. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Chaf Aleph says hayaroik shadoyme le'isvei hasadeh pasul, which the Mishnah Berurah is medayik that only if it's a strong green like the isvei hasadeh, like a karti, then it's pasul. Some shade of light green is not going to be the psul of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda al kapanim, but it says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's pasul ela imkein choizer lamare esrik kosher kishemashin oisoi. If eventually waiting, even when it's off the tree already, if it will become yellow afterwards, then that's a simon that it's nigmar hapri, as the Mishnah Berurah and other achrayim explain that since the whole issue is an issue of nigmar hapri, then if it'll become yellow afterwards, so that's a sign that already, as it was picked and it was still green, that's still a simon that it's nigmar hapri. If that's the case, then even if it hasn't turned yellow yet, one could be yaitze his mitzvah on Sukkos with such an esrog. The Mishnah Berurah cautions in the name of all the achrayim, hiskimu achrayim, that if the esrog has not started to turn yellow yet, then one should not rely on this, because you're not going to be sure if this is an esrog that's fully ripe and is going to turn yellow with time, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's loy nigmar pri and it's not going to turn yellow, and it's only going to be nizbara later, and then you'll know l'mafreya that you weren't yaitz of the mitzvah and never ended up turning yellow. So therefore, you have to already see an indication that it's starting to turn yellow, which is the ikar mara esrog. And when it starts turning yellow, even if it has not turned fully yellow yet, and there are parts on the esrog that are still yarei kakarti, one could rely on this esrog lahalacha according to the Mishnah Berurah, because it is a simon that it is nigmar peira. This is all based on the Maskonas HaGemara that there is no issue of hadar when it comes to an esrog that's yarei kakarti. The whole issue is an issue of nigmar peri. However, the Bach and Simon Tof Reish Mem Ches says a big chumrah that many of the other poiskim argue with, but the Bach is machmir, and the Bach says that it's not true to learn the Gemara l'maskana that there is no issue of hadar by nigmar peri. All the Gemara says l'maskana is that even l'fishitas Rabbi Yehuda that does not hold of the requirement of hadar by esrig, he too can hold that an esrig that's yarei kakarti is pasul, as his own shita is in the Mishnah on Lamed Aled, and his reasoning must be because of nigmar peri. But la halacha that we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda in that aspect. La halacha we hold that there is a requirement of hadar by esrig and arba minim. The truth is that an esrig that's yarei kakarti has two problems with it. Besides the issue of nigmar peri, there's also an issue of a psul hadar, and therefore the Bach says that an esrig that's yarei kakarti, even if it is going to turn yellow with the passing of time, and therefore the issue of nigmar peri is not a problem, still one cannot take such an esrog. An esrog like this is pasul on Sukkos because it has the problem that it lacks the requirement of hadar. Many of the poskim do not hold of this chumrah of the Bach. However, in the tshuvas of the Mishkanos Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Karliner, the brother of the Keren Oira, the Mishkanos Yaakov in Orach Chaim Simen Kuf Nun Vav, paskins like the chumrah of the Bach. And the Mishkanos Yaakov shows that many of the Rishonim were of the opinion that there is a chisaron hadar halacha lemaisa in an esrog that's yarei kakarti. The Mishkanos Yaakov brings it from the Ritva and the Ran in our sugya. Mishkanos Yaakov did not have the Meiri, but the Meiri on the Aflamed Dalet Amid Beis says this as well, that according to us that we hold that there's a chesaron of hadar by Arba Minim, then there's a problem not only because of Nigmar Peri, but also because of a chesaron of hadar. And therefore, if an esrog is green, there's a problem mitzad atzmai that it's a lack of hadar. And the Truth is that in the Rambam, it's mashma like this shita as well. The Rambam in Hilchas Luluf, Perachas, Halacha Ches, includes the color Yoroik together with Shachar and Lavon, which is the colors that make a Mara possible on an Esrig. And it's mashma that Yoroik is a chisaron of Hadar, that Mitzar Atzmai, the color green, is not the correct color of an Esrig, similar to a black spot and a white spot on the Esrig. A green is one of those colors as well. And the Mabit in the Kiryas Sefer says that Befeirish over there in Perachas of Hilchas Lulav, that the Rambam holds that the color green is a chisaron of Hadar. And based on all these Rishonim, the Mishkanais Yaakov is noita lahachmir, like the Shita of the Bach, that even when there is no issue of Nigmar Peri, there still is a problem mitzad Hadar. And this presents to us a big chumrah halacha lemaisa. Firstly, that we have to be machmir, if you hold like the Mishkanos Yaakov and the Bach, that even if the Esrig has started to turn yellow, but if there are parts of the Esrig that are still Yoroi Kakarti, so then it would be possible, it would be a Mara possible, according to these Rishonim. And in addition to that, even if there's one little spot, just like one black spot or a white spot, if it's on the chaitam of the Esrig, on the part of the Esrig that it starts slanting upwards, that, as we'll see in the sugya, that's pasul. That itself, even one spot on the chaitam is pasul. So according to these paiskim, one spot of green is just like one spot of black or white, and therefore that would be pasul as well. And be'etzem, that's the same chumrah. The chumrah is that we treat green as a chisaron in hadar, not just a chisaron because of nigmar peri. What's fascinating is that in the Tshuvas Chut HaMeshulash, which is the Tshuvas of Reb Chaim Valozhiner, in Simen Chav Gimel, Reb Chaim Valozhiner paskins this way as well. But what's very suspicious is that the Tshuva of Reb Chaim Valozhiner in the Chut HaMeshulash is exactly the same words of the Tshuva that the Mishkanos Yaakov wrote. It's not just the same content, but word for word, the exact same Tshuva. And if you look at the end of that Tshuva, it's brought down by the grandchildren who wrote over these tshuvas of Reb Chaim Valozhiner that this tshuva was found on the desk of Reb Chaim Valozhiner, and it's assumed that Reb Chaim Valozhiner himself wrote the tshuva, but the grandchildren were not sure for certain that this tshuva was actually written by Reb Chaim Valozhiner. And I spoke over this inyan with Reb Rafael Reichman in Eretz Yisrael, and Reb Rafael Reichman, who's a big expert on the sugyas and on the halacha lemaisa of Arba Minim, says it's a davar yadua that this tshuva was not a tshuva of Reb Chaim Valozhiner. It was the tshuva of the Mishkanos Yaakov himself, who was a Talmud Chaver of Reb Chaim Valozhiner, and he sent his tshuva to Reb Chaim Valozhiner, and Reb Chaim had it on his table. So it's not the tshuva of Reb Chaim Valozhiner, even though it's printed in the Chut HaMeshulash. This is the tshuva of the Mishkanos Yaakov. However, it's important to know that even though the Mishnah Berurah says that most paiskim hold not like this chumrah of the Bach, and therefore we could be makil that if the Esrig has started to turn yellow, even though there are some spots that are Yorei Kakarti, we could still say that it's kosher because there's no issue of Nigmar Peri. In the Sefer Pri Eitz Chaim, which is a Sefer written on Ravissa Zalman Meltzer, it's brought down that the Briskerov Zatzal sent a letter to Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer to help him find an Esrig, and when he was telling him the requirements that he's makbid on an Ilchas Esrig, he said that it shouldn't be any place on the Chaitam, there should not be any spot that's Yorei Kakarti, because he's machmer halacha lemaisa like the Tshuvas Mishkanos Yaakov that holds that Yorei Kakarti is a problem of Hadar. So there definitely is makam to be machmer halacha lemaisa that one should not take an Esrig that's Yorei Kakarti, even if it's his Chilu Litzoiv, it started becoming yellow, and if there's one spot on the chaitam that's Yorei Kakarti, a deep green, then one should be machmer like this according to the Mishkanos Yaakov and the Bach. However, those who want to be makel and rely on the Mishnah Berurah, definitely that is the shita of most poiskim, but al kapanim, because the Bach and the Mishkanos Yaakov, the Briskerov, were machmer with the go, and there are strong sources to this in a number of the Rishonim, including the Rambam, this would be a makim chumra la'alacha to assume that Yorei Kakarti is not just a problem of Nigmar Peri, but also as an issue of Hadar as well. It's important to point out that this understanding that there's a chisaron of Hadar in the Yorei Kakarti can bring a possible Kula as well. And that is because if you look well at the Tshuvas Mishkanos Yaakov, the Mishkanos Yaakov comes out that he holds that the psula halacha lemaisa is only a psula of Hadar. This that the Gemara said that there's an issue of Nigmar Peri, that's only because we were grappling to try to find the Svara and Shitas Rabbi Yehuda himself. But la halacha lemaisa that we hold that there's a requirement of Hadar by Esrig, the emes is that the psul of Yarei Kakarti is only because of Hadar. How does this bring a kula halacha lemaisa? So the truth is, la halacha lemaisa of our psak halacha, it wouldn't bring a kula, but it could bring a kula in the shita's harambam, because the Rambam's shita in Paraches of Hilchas Lulav is that the psulei Hadar are only pasul on the first day of Yontif, not kol shiva, unlike the shita of Taisvis and Avchav Tesam and Beis, and the Rosh in the beginning of the Perek, that they hold that the psulim of Hadar are pasul kol shiva. The Rambam holds that if something is pasul al Hadar, it's only pasul on the Yom Rishon. So if the Mishkan Eis Yaakov is right that the psul of Yarei Kakarti is only al Hadar, it would come out that the shita of Rambam would be then that a Yarei Kakarti is not pasul b'shar hayamim. If someone has an esrig that's yellow on the first day and then he loses that esrig and now the only esrig he can find is an esrig that is green, that has a green spot, Yarei Kakarti, it wouldn't be a problem according to the Rambam, because the psul of Hadar is not b'shar hayamim. And Rabbi Fall Reichman in his kuntris Sheish Mashzar is medayik that that's taka the shitas Rambam, because after the Rambam says in Halacha Ches that Yarei Kakarti is similar to Shachar and Lavan, that the problem is al Tzadar, the Rambam in Halacha Tes says all the psulim that I mentioned now that are because of the lack of Hadar are only b'yom Rishayin and not b'shar hayamim. It's taka mashma like this kula that b'shar hayamim the Rambam would hold that a esrog that's Yarei Kakarti would be kosher. However, as we said, Halacha Lamaisa, this is not going to help us, because the Ramah already paskins in Simin Tafresh Mem Tes Sifhei, like the Shita of Taisvis and the Rosh, that Psulei Hadar we have to be Machmir Kol Shiva, and therefore this kula would not be relevant Halacha Lamaisa. What would be relevant is the Chumrah based on the Bach and the Mishkan Eis Yaakov, that if one wants to be Machmir to treat it that there's a issue of Hadar in addition to the issue of Nigmar Peri, then even if the Esrig is going to turn yellow, or even if most of the Esrig is yellow and only one spot on the Chaitam is a spot of Yarei Kakarti, that would be makam to be machmir and not to use such an esrig according to these achrayim. There's a similar dion in the next Gemara when the Gemara says that according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the shear esrig hakatan, the minimum shear of an esrig, is the shear of a kebetza, the size of an egg. And the Gemara wants to assume from there that Rabbi Yehuda holds of the requirement of Hadar. Less than a kebetza must be a problem of Hadar. The Gemara's maskana is loy mishum de loy gamar peri, the chesar and lefir Rabbi Yehuda is that it's loy nigmar peri. And lahalacha lemaisa, we passing like that Rabbi Yehuda as well. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tofresh Memches, Sifchav Beis, paskins shir esrig katan, pachos mi kebetza pasal. Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that the minimum shir of an esrig is a kebetza. So the Paiskim discuss a shaila. Let's say the esrig grew to be the full shear of a kebetza, but then over Yontif it shriveled a little bit and became smaller than a kebetza. What would be the halacha? So if the issue is an issue of nigmar peri, once it has grown to the size of a kebetza, that shows us that it's nigmar peri. Nothing that happens afterwards can uproot the fact that it was nigmar peri, and therefore if it's nitstamik, if it shrivels over yantif, that's not going to be a psul even after it's nitstamik. However, the bir halacha brings in the name of the Chai Yodam in Klal Kuf Nun Aleph Siv Tez Zayin, where the Chai Yodam says that if it's Nitztamik on Yontif, then it's Pasal Mishum She'enoi Hadar, because it's not Hadar. And the Chai Yodam in the Nishmas Adam in Sivkatan Vav is Masbir, because even though the Maskana, the Gemara says that the Chisaran is Mishum She'loi Nigmar Peri, the Gemara doesn't mean to limit it to the issue of Nigmar Peri. The Gemara just means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't hold of the requirement of Hadar, he can also hold that it's Pasal because Lo Nigmar Peri. But according to us, that we hold La Halacha of the requirement of Hadar by Arba Minim, there's two issues when it comes to an Esrig that's Pachos Mikashir. And therefore, the issue of Nigmar Peri is only part of the equation, but there's also an issue of lack of Hadar, and that issue applies even when it's Nitztamik over Yantif. Saif Kol Saif, after it's Nitztamik, it's not Hadar. It's very similar to the Mahalach of the Bach in the previous Gemara, that the Gemara does not mean to limit the discussion of Yarei Kakarti to Chisaron of Nidloi Nigmar Peri. It just means to say Lefi Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that would be the issue. But Ladidan, there is also an issue of Hadar. Similarly, the Chai Adam is saying over here by Pachas Mikabetza that there's an additional issue as well, la halacha, and that's the issue of lack of hadar with an afkamina of this chumrah, that even if it's nitztamik over yantif, that would be a problem. The Aruch Laner in Bikurei Yaakov, over there in Simen Tafresh Mem Ches, in Sifkatan Mem Tes, and again in Sifkatan Nun Aleph, shows that araya to this shita from the words of Tosfos and Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis and the Tur in Simin Tafresh Mem Tes, because they discuss a case of an esrog hachaser, which is mavur in the sugya that an esrog that's chaser is kosher b'shar yamim. If something happened to the esrog and it became chaser, part of the gufa esrog, that does not pass le b'shar yamim. Tosfos and the Tur both say that that's only providing that it remained kebeya, because if it's less than a shear of a kebeitza, then it's pachas mikashir. And the Bikurei Yaakov wonders if the whole shear of kebeitza is because of loy nigmar peri. So if it was nigmar peri, who cares if it's nischaser afterwards? It should be similar to the discussion of nitztamik, that once it's nigmar peri, there shouldn't be a problem. Says the Bikurei Yaakov, I see that Tosfos and the Tur hold like this havana that we mentioned from the Chayei Adam, that lamaskana there is an issue of hadar as well. And therefore, even in a scenario where we know that it's nigmar peri, because it reached its full share of kebeitza, if afterwards, when yontif is still around, it's in its stomach or in nechzar, that now it's pachas mikashir kebeitza, that's going to be a problem, and the chisaron there would not be on the nigmar peri issue. That's a chisaron because there's an issue of lack of hadar as well. Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis brings the Mishnah that teaches us that shalashera v'shalir anidachas is pasul. And the Gemara says that not by every lulav shel asheira is it possible. We know that Rava taught us that a lulav shel avodah zara lechatchila, one should not take it. As Rashi explains, dema is legavaya, it's repulsive to use for the mitzvah of Hashem. However, b'di'eved im not al kasher, b'di'eved, it is kasher for the mitzvah, even though it's asa b'hanah. As Rashi points out, because this is because of the klal of mitzvahs lav lehonos nitnu, therefore halachically it's not considered deriving pleasure from the object if you're using it for a dvar mitzvah. As Rashi says, the point of the mitzvah is not for our hanoas haguf, it's for avoidas eved l'raboy, and therefore it's not considered halachically deriving pleasure from the object if you use it for a mitzvah, and therefore a regular asherah, a lulav of a regular asherah, imnot al kosher. It's kedai to mention that the ritva over here asks an interesting question, that l'chayra, if you use isurei hana for its mitzvah, so l'chayra, you are deriving pleasure, not the actual mitzvah, but the schar that you get for the mitzvah. The schar that we're going to get in the Olam HaEmes, and sometimes even in Olam HaZeh, for the mitzvah. Why shouldn't that be usher? Why shouldn't it be usher to use a lulav of any asherah because you're going to get hana from it by getting schar of the mitzvah? And the ritva says, no, isurei hana means it's usher to derive pleasure directly from the object, from the davar that's asr b'hanah. Here it's not called directly deriving pleasure. There's a hanah that you get, it's geirim loy hanah v'revach mimakim acher. Doing the mitzvah will get you schar in an indirect way. It'll get you schar in the olam ha'emes, or maybe even in this world, but that's not called deriving pleasure from this object directly. Derech Agav, it's kedai to mention that the Avne Miluim in Simen Chav Ches, Sivkotan Samach, points out that this piece of the Ritva is not consistent with a piece of the Rashba in the Dorem Daf Tez Vava Mer Aleph. And the way the Avne Miluim asks it is that it's a stira in the Rashba, because for many generations they thought that the Chidushei HaRitva in Sukkah was the Chidushei HaRashba. It's called that way by many Achrayim, the Chidushei HaRashba in Sukkah. But Rabbi Chanan, in the beginning of the Sefer Koivetz HaArois, has a page where he writes down Yediyos Nechbadois, and he says there that the Chidushei HaRashba and Sukkah really belongs to the Ritva, as we know already in today's generation that it's the Chidushim of the Ritva and Sukkah. And Rebbe Chanan says there, and with this it's Meyushev the Stira that the Avne Miluim asks in Simen Chav Ches, Sivkatan Samach, and he brings this piece of the Avne Miluim, Ayin Sham. So it's not really a Stira in the Rashba, it's a Machloikis between our Ritva and the Rashba in Adarim. Al Kapanim, the Gemara says that this that it says in the Mishnah that an Asher, a lulav of an asherah, you're not yotze the mitzvah even b'di'eved on sukkahs, that's referring to asherah de Moshe, because by an asherah that was in existence in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi brings the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that says va'asherehem tisrufun ba'esh. Therefore, it's l'sreifa kai. If it's l'sreifa kai, then it's not just a question of aser b'hanah. Then we say kesusei michtas shiure, which means that the shear is considered as if it's crushed up, and therefore you're not yotze the mitzvah. And the Gemara says it's meduyik like that because it puts it together with ir anidachas. Ir anidachas is also a lulav of an ir anidachas is l'sreifakai, and therefore it's mistaber that we're talking about a similar issue by the lulav shal asherah, not just that it's aser ba'anah, but that it's l'sreifakai. Rashi Over here, by Ksusei Mechta Shiure, stresses the fact that lulav tzarech shir, a lulav needs a shir of dalet tfachim. Rashi in the Mishnah on Chavtesa Midbeis as well, he said lulav needs a shir of dalet tfachim, and therefore if it's lesreifa koi, ain't shiurei kayim, to kesarif dami. And the question is why Rashi has to be madgish that a lulav needs a shir, if the idea is that it's oimed lisreifa, you're supposed to burn it. Kala oimed lisreif kesarif tami. So if you're going to burn it and it's considered as if already it's burnt, so what does it have to do with the fact that a lulav needs a shear? It's mashma clearly in the Rashi that only because lulav has a din that it requires a shear do we say kesusei mechta shiure, and that would be possible. And the explanation of this is based on a piece of Reb Chaim Brisker in Hilchas Shabbos, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Beis. And over there, Reb Chaim teaches us that the klal of Ksusei Mechta Shiure does not mean that since we are going to end up burning this object, it's considered already kamisha einoy, as if it's not here. No, that's not the pshat. The pshat is exactly like the Lashon indicates, kesusei mechta shiure. The shear is as if it's crushed up. The aside is that the shear is mechtas ubatel minei, aval etzem hadavar isei be'enei v'loi batel. That when something requires a shear, if it has to be one unit, so when it's oimed l'sreifa, the klal is kesusei mechta shiure. We look at it as if it's crushed and broken into a million different small pieces. But it's not as if the item is not here. It's not as if it's kamisha einoy. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, if there's something that needs a shear, kesusei mechta shiure makes it possible. But something that does not need one unit of a shear, then there is no problem of kesusei mechta shiure. The piece of Reb Chaim is coming to explain a Rambam, where the Rambam writes that a lechi, if a mavui can require a lechi, a side post, when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Erev Chatzeros, and the Rambam says that if the lechi comes from an asherah, it's kosher, because there is no shear of the oivi, of the thickness of a lechi. It doesn't need a shear, and if it doesn't need a shear, there is no problem of kesusei mechta shiure. And the Ravid asks on the Rambam that even though there is no shear of the thickness of a lechi, but there is a shear in the height of the lechi has to be 10 tvachim high. So Reb Chaim explains that when something has to be one unit and it needs a shear, then kesusei mechta shiuri takes away that shear. The Rambam holds that the lechi, the hechsher of a lechi, is because it's considered like a mechitza of asara tfachim, and the rule of mechitza asara tfachim is not that the mechitza has its own shear, that it has to be 10 tfachim high. The idea is that the reshus, the makim that it surrounds, has the entire makim of 10 tfachim from the ground up, has to be surrounded with mechitza, has to be surrounded with something that's considered a partition. And therefore, if it's not a shear in the cheftza of the lechi, it just is a shear that the makim has to be surrounded. The makim is surrounded by a lechi, even though it's ksusei mechta shiure, but we don't say it's kemisha einoy, it's as if it's not here. It's just as if it's crushed up into many different pieces, and therefore the Rambam holds that a lechi would be kosher, even a lechi shal asherah. The Ravid held that the shear that a lechi needs asara tfachim is because the lechi itself, the chefza of the lechi, has to have a shear of asara tfachim, and therefore the Ravid held that the psul of ksusei mechta shiure would apply there as well. Akapanim lamadu mitayras Reb Chaim, that the klal of ksusei mechta shiure only breaks up something and passes it if it requires a shear. But if it does not require a shear, the fact that it's lesreifa koi does not make it kamisha ein, and therefore the psul over here by lulav shal asheira of Moshe is because of ksusei mechta shiure. Rashi has to tell us that this is only because of the fact that a lulav has a shear of dalet tfachim. If the lulav would not have to be one consistent unit of asara of dalet tfachim, then it would not pass to say bechlal a chisaron of kesusei mechta shiure. The emes is that we find the shita and shas of Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon holds kol ha'aymed lisarev kesarev dami, and the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Hagra in Evan Ezer Simon Kuf Chav Dalid Sivkatan Beis points out that that is a higher level of a psul than what we find of kesusei mechta shiure. Reb Shimon holds kol ha'aymed lisarev kesarev dami, and then it's kamanda lesa. The thing is looked at as if it's non-existent, because since its din is to be burnt, we already look at it as if it's burnt. But la halacha that we hold like the Chachamim and not like Reb Shimon, when something is oimid l'sreifa, all we say is that it's kesusei mechta shiure, only if it requires a shear is it possible. But we don't say it's kamanda lesa. Ukedvarav mefurash in the Ran and Gittin, the Ran and Gittin on daf chaf amir aleph, in the daf yarif, it's on daf yur amir aleph, dibur hamaschel sholchu mitam, where the Ran says clearly that the klal of kol ha'oimid l'sareif kesarav tami of Reb Shimon makes it kamanda lesa, even by something that does not require a shear. However, if we don't hold of Reb Shimon, then the klal of ksuse mechta shiure only passes if it needs a shear. And these are makairis, the Vilna Gaon and the Ran, are makairis to the Torah of Reb Chaim that he explained lagabe lechi. The emes is that the Meiri in Erevin, Davyud Dalad Amid Beis, says like the Torah of Reb Chaim by lechi itself. And the Meiri says, Ein oimen bi yisure hana sheyuhu kemisha einon lagamri. We don't say that it's as if it's not there. Ela shehu kedavar hamachusas. It's just like something that's crushed up, and therefore he explains there lagabe lechi that we won't say that it's a problem, lechi of Isuri Hana, since the lechi, the width of the lechi, does not have a shear. Akapanim, based on this, we understand that the psul of our Mishnah, lulav shal asherah v'shalira nidachas, that we say that we're talking about an asherah shal moisha that's lesreifa, koi, according to the shita of Rab Shimon, we would say, kala oimid lisarev kasarev tami, it has nothing to do with the fact that lulav ba yishir, but since la halacha, we don't hold that it's totally kasarev tami, it's only kasarev tami in regard to the fact that we say that the shear is non-existent. It's not considered one unit of a four tefach lulav. That's why Rashi over here and in the Mishnah has to explain to us that since a lulav requires a shear, that is why a lulav shel asherah is possible, because ksusei mechtas shiuri.
You have been listening to the shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.